John 3, verse 30, the words of John the Baptist, he says, of Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. All the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, bring us face to face with the ministry of John the Baptist. We see in their writings what a man he was and what a great ministry he had for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can think of certain lessons about the ministry of John. It was a ministry that was sudden. It's just as if John the Baptist appeared out of nowhere. Because remember, before John the Baptist began to preach, for 400 years there was silence. There were no prophets. There were no preachers. There was silence. And then this man appears, a voice crying in the wilderness. It is the voice of John the Baptist. As if out of nowhere, he appears. It says in Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And the word preaching means to herd or to proclaim. For years, silence. Suddenly, there's a man for standing for God. It's John the Baptist. His ministry was sovereign because he was God's messenger. You know what it says in John 1, verse 6? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And so it was God who sent John to preach. Remember, the prophets in the Old Testament had said there's going to be a messenger who's going to come to preach. In Malachi 3, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger. And God had told him in the Old Testament, I am going to send my messenger. Now, he never said it's going to be John, but it was John. And he was God's messenger. And you know, today, congregation, he had a sovereign message. His message was God's message. His message was full of Christ. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus came? There he was baptizing at the river. John the Baptist was baptizing. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. His whole ministry, his whole message, it was full of Christ. So his ministry was sovereign. His ministry was short. They reckoned that he preached and ministered for 2.5 years. Just 2.5 years. He was the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what an impact he made. What an impact he made. He had a successful ministry over there in Matthew's Gospel. We'll not turn to it. Chapter 3, it tells us. But all the people coming out to hear this man, they heard about him preaching by the river, out in the wilderness. There's a man and he's preaching. He's preaching about the Messiah. He's preaching about Christ. And they all went out to hear him. And you can see in Matthew chapter 3, even in the verse 6, it tells us, and they all were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. He saw people saved. And he saw people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a successful ministry. And here we find him in John's Gospel. He's still serving the Lord. And he's still preaching about Jesus Christ. But it tells us that some people come to him. And there's problems. They had a dispute about purifying. They were falling out among themselves. And then there was other ones came, and they had a message for him. In verse 26, it says, Rabbi, you see that one that was with you beyond Jordan, which was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom thou beareth witness? Behold, the same baptizes. And listen, all men coming, come to him. Everybody's going to him. Things are happening. The crowds are flocking. They're not coming to us. They're not coming to hear you. No, no. They're going to him. Maybe they were jealous. Maybe these men were jealous. Because they used to come to him. They used to come to hear John. And the disciples of John were with him. And they would have been standing. And they were saying, oh, there's great crowds coming here today. But now they were standing. And the crowds were not coming. Not coming to John. The crowds were going to Christ. Maybe they were thinking, oh, John will be, he'll be jealous here. He'll not be too pleased at this message. But this is not the case. John says the great words of our text in response to this and other things as well. But he said in verse 30, when he considered the whole thing of his ministry and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's the same today. He must increase, but I must decrease. And John is explaining what is happening. He's explaining why the crowds are going to Christ and are not coming to him. Here's what's happening, he says. He must increase, but I must decrease. And there's two lessons. Well, there's a number of points on there each lesson. I'll go through them quick. He talks, first of all, about the progression of the ministry of Christ. I think what he said, he must increase. And you have the must of his progression. John says, this is something, listen here this morning, must happen. And there's no doubt about this, he said to the people and to these people who came to him, here is something that must happen. And you can think of the things here that's mentioned even in this particular gospel. Remember, it says, the Lord Jesus said in John 3, verse 7, you must be born again. If you want to get to heaven, then you must be born again. In John 3, verse 14, he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. In chapter 4, verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. In John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. And there were things that had to be done. So the Lord Jesus is saying here, here's something must happen. Or sorry, John says this. He must increase. This is something that must happen. Remember in this gospel, he is Lord, chapter 1, verse 1. He is the light. He's the light of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He will have the preeminence, as Colossians tells us, in all things. And John is saying here, must happen. And the word must is in the present tense. And here's what it means. It's going to be continually increasing. He's not just going to increase for the day. No. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ will increase continually. And he's really saying here to the people, there's no stopping this. No one can stop it. The Lord Jesus Christ must increase continually. And dear friends, that's the must of it. He will increase. That has never changed. I want to say that to you here this morning. This has never changed. He must increase. Some of us maybe were at the prayer meeting yesterday with our church. It would have broke your heart. They told all about the laws that's going to come into our nation, our land, to do with school, open air preaching, abortion, disciplined children, all against the Bible. And you felt the weight of the whole thing is coming against us. It's coming against the people of God. They're throwing out the Bible. They want us to turn away from Christ. But here I want to say to you this morning, he must increase. And there's no stopping. There'll be no stopping the increase of Christ. There's a must of this. He must increase. And the meaning of his progression, can I say, of course, it doesn't mean the increase of his person. You cannot add to Christ. Do you remember in Colossians chapter 2, it tells us in verse 9, and speaking of the Lord Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You cannot increase Christ's person. He is complete. He is God. You cannot increase him. You cannot increase his purity. He is holy, separate from sinners. You cannot increase in any shape or form in Jesus Christ. There's no sin. You cannot increase the power of Christ. He says, all power is given unto me. He is the Almighty God. You cannot increase his power. What is John saying? He's saying here, his ministry is going to increase. It's going to grow and grow. As if John is saying to these men, and remember that they were jealous. They saw the crowds flocking to Jesus Christ. As if John is saying to these men, you ain't seen nothing yet. This is only the beginning. And there's multitudes. And they're going to flock. They're going to flock to Jesus Christ. You see, he must increase in the conversion of sinners. They will come to him. And while John was ministering, Christ was ministering. And people are being converted. And John says there's people it's going to increase. You can think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that people are going to be converted. In John 6, verse 37, that great verse is, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, he says. All those who are given to me, they shall come to me. Remember, he was praying in John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I am praying, and there's people going to believe on me. Not that they might. No. He was sure of us. And he was sure of those whom the Father had given to him. They're going to come to me. He talked about the presentation of Christ. Remember in John 12, verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, listen, will draw all men unto me. Lift me up. Preach the gospel, he says. And he says, people will be drawn to me. That's what happened when we got saved. We heard the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were drawn. We were drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the meaning of this progression. His mission to save sinners, they will come to him. And John is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. This is going to increase. And you just read here John's gospel, for instance. In John chapter 2, in verse 23, it says, and when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name. Notice the word many believed in his name. In John chapter 4, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. In John chapter 8, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And you can follow this out in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there were people rejected him and they turned away from him. But there are many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they were glad. They were glad to come to him. Because he saved them and he washed them from their sin in his own blood. And you can follow this too. Even in the ministry of the apostles. Next chapter 2, verse 41, there were added about 3,000 souls were saved in one sermon. In chapter 2, verse 47 of Acts, it says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see the increase. In chapter 4 of Acts, it tells us, there were 5,000, about 5,000 people saved. You see, he must increase. He must increase. Sinners will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul went out and nations were converted. They were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, John says he must increase. And you see in verse 27, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. This has been given to Christ from heaven. He says the Spirit of God is upon him in chapter 1, verse 33. He says in chapter 3, verse 35 of Christ, the Father loveth the Son, and notice the words, and hath given all things into his hand. He says in verse 34, he speaketh the words of God. And John said, this is why it's happening. He is God. He is the Savior of the world. The Spirit of God is upon him. He's preaching the very word of God. I'm telling you, he must increase. And dear friends, that's what happened. In the conversion of souls, he must increase. And that's happening today. Souls are being saved. Even in countries that's difficult. Over in China, there are many, many people in prison. for their faith in China. But I read an article there, and it tells us about, even though about the persecutions, there was mass conversions in China. The record from 1949, that was about, say, it's 1950, which over 70 years, it used to be about 1 million Christians in China. The record today, there's 100 million. And today they're reckoning that there are 60 million of China's Christians are members of the unregistered evangelical house churches. Imagine, 60 million. And there are millions who have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this has happened, this has happened all over the world. And there are many thousands upon thousands have been saved in Northern Ireland. You can go throughout the United Kingdom, go out throughout the world. He must increase. And I say to you today, this has never changed. His truth goes marching on. He will increase in the conversions of sinners. Now, we may not see it here in Allah. We may not see it the way we did years ago. But it's happening somewhere in the world. He must increase. And I want to get that truth into your heart this morning, child of God. He must increase. And so he will. And so he does. As I said to you, it's in a continual tense. He's always increasing. We have a mighty and a great and a powerful and a loving Savior. And if you're all converted this morning, listening in or in this congregation, he can save you. You can become one of the number of the redeemed of the Lord. If you repent from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he can save you and wash you from your sin in his own blood. Oh, you among that number of the redeemed of the Lord, you see. Oh, dear friends, he must increase in the conversion of sinners. He must increase in the character of the saints. That means his influence will increase in his people. He must have an increase in it. When we get saved, he doesn't just leave us, not a bit of it. No, Christ has an influence in our life, and he must increase in our life. Before we were converted, we had very little to do with Jesus Christ. We ran from him. We hid from him. We rejected him. We didn't like him. We didn't want him. But oh, when we came to Christ, friends, what a change. He has an influence in our life now. Change any man be in Christ. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. And there's the five areas, and I'm just going to mention them. He has an influence in our lives, in the lives of God's people. Remember Paul, Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's a time he had no influence in our lives at all. But now we can say, for me to live is Christ. I want to live for him. Do whatever I can for the Lord Jesus. He increases in their lives. He increases in their learning of the saints of God. Remember, it says on the final words of Peter in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he said to the people here, listen, here's something that must happen to you. To grow in grace, listen, and in the knowledge. And in the knowledge of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will increase in learning. Oh, child of God, this should be happening in your life. You should be increasing in learning the Word of God. You should know more of the Bible today than you did last year. And I ask you, are you increasing? Is Christ increasing in your life? Is he increasing in your learning of the Word of the living God? He increases in their love. Remember 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase. Notice the words. And abound in love. One toward another. And toward all men. Even as we do toward you. So he's talking here about the heart of Christianity. Love. And he says here, you will, Lord make you to increase more and more. More and more in love. Towards one another. Listen, know what he said. Toward all men. We love people. We are an increase in us. We love sinners. We may not love their sin, and that is true. We don't love the lost. We don't love one another. We don't love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. So we are to increase in our love. Increase in our labor. Remember in 1 Thessalonians 15, verse 50, "Yet therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." Notice the words, "always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Always abounding, growing. Growing in the work of God. Progressing in the work of God. Seeking to bring Christ to people. We're always abounding in our labor for Jesus Christ. And I asked you, are we abounding? I know there's hindrances on us at the minute. They're on all of us, actually. But are we abounding? See, we are to increase. Going on with Christ more and more. And not only in their labor, but their likeness. Remember, it says in Romans 8, verse 29, about our salvation, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." And he's saying here, here's the reason we're saved, is to be like Jesus. To be conformed to the image of his Son. Become more and more like Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ should have this effect in our life. We must increase. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. To be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He must. And I want to underline that word. He must increase in our lives. Now, is that true of you, child of God, this morning? Can you say the Lord Jesus increasing in my life? I want to love him more. I want to serve him more. I want to walk with him. You see, he must increase. That's what John's explaining. Why the crowds are going to Christ. He's not jealous. He's not jealous. He's telling us, here's why it's happening. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. They're going to flock to him. And he will increase in our lives. I want to say a word to all of us this morning. May we not be jealous of people. See, other people have been blessed. Other people have been praised, and we're not. They're praised for somebody else for doing something. You think, oh, I could do better than that. And some people can get jealous. Oh, friends, never be like that. No. He must increase. That's what John is saying. John also spoke not only about the progression of the Lord Jesus Christ, he must increase. He spoke about the humiliation of John himself. He says, "But I must decrease." And again, in the original language, it's in a continuing tense, and he says, "I'm always decreasing." And that particular Greek word is only mentioned twice in the Bible. It's mentioned in Hebrews 2, verse 7, verse 9, a little lower. And here's what John is really saying. He's saying, Christ, he's rising. And you see me, I'm getting lower. And that is happening continually. I'm getting lower. He said to his disciples, this is what is happening to me. I'm standing here by the river with you. I hear what you're saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I must decrease. I must get lower. Oh, dear friends, I know the Lord Jesus spoke well of John the Baptist. Remember he said in John 11, verse 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Lord Jesus said, there's no greater. It wasn't John's opinion of himself. Not our dear friends. He was humble. And you can see that in the life of John the Baptist, and I only name them to you for time's sake. In his character, John was very, very humble. You see it in verse 27. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And he's really saying, all that I have, everything's been given to me. And there were things given to John. The people come out and to hear him. God had given him a great ministry. But he says, these things have been given. They've been given to me from God. A man can receive nothing except God gives it to him. I cannot boast. Listen, I cannot be full of pride. All of these things have been given to me. F.B. Meyer said these words, and just summarize them. He says, I used to think that God's gifts for his people were on the high shelves. In other words, he said, I used to think you had to grow, and then you got this gift, and then you grow, and you got this gift, and then you grow, and you get this gift. And then he says, I found out that that's not the case. To get the gifts of God, you have to go down, and then you go down, and then you go down. In other words, you have to be humble. And John was such a character. You can see that in his character. You can see it in his professions, in his confessions, because he says of Christ in John chapter 1, he is preferred before me. You know what he said in verse 27? I couldn't even open a shoelace news in our language, a shoelatchel. He says in chapter 1, verse 20, I am not the Christ. You know what he said in verse 23? I am the voice. That's all I am. I am the voice. John was full of humiliation. And know what he said? Here I must get lower. I'll have to even go lower in this. And you think, John, you're low enough. You're saying everything's been given to you by God. And you're saying by Christ. And he said he couldn't even open a shoelace. Well, I tell you, he couldn't get much lower than this. John said, I tell you what, he says, I have to go lower. Going to go lower in this. You see in his confessions, in his costume, in other words, his dress. Matthew 3, verse 4, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. He never dressed or never drew attention to himself but Christ. He never. In his dress. I remember one time being in the Crumlin Road. Now, I was visiting someone, I wasn't put in it, but I remember being in it and I was coming out. And there was this fella in front of me, and there was a few of us all waiting to get out in a room. And this fella was sitting, he's supposed to be a so-called minister, and I think he had jeans on him, he had a leather jacket, there was chains all hanging on him, and he made of earrings in, and the collar was actually hanging off him. You could even see in through underneath him, and he's hanging off him. And there he was sitting, and I was very near asking him the question, this question. I was going to ask him, was he a minister, or was he coming home from a fancy dress party? Because that's the way he just dressed up to fancy dress. He was drawing attention to himself, that he was loose, perhaps, this part of the world, but not John. No, dear friends, John was humble. In his conduct, he was a burning and a shining light, but he says, I'm burning, but I will decrease. I will get down. Someone once said, the humility of people in the church, a young minister was preaching about Christ. He was washing the disciples' feet. And in the midst of the sermon, he looked at the congregation. And he says to them, friends, we're all fighting for the top in this church, but there are very few fighting for the towel. And that was a queer truth, wasn't there? We're all fighting for top position in the church, but very few people fighting for the towel. The humble tasks. The task that needs to be done in the church. John was humble. And he says, I must decrease. Getting lower. He's getting lower, friends. And you can follow him right to his end, to his death. He had a martyr's death. He was put to death by King Herod. He's fading out of the picture. He's out of the picture altogether. And that's true of every one of us. One day, you'll be out of the picture. We're getting lower, friends. Be humble. We're decreasing. And think about it, death is coming. But Christ will continue to be exalted and increase. These are things that are happening. These are things that happened to John and will happen to each one of us, every child of God. He must increase. But I must decrease. If we can get that spirit into our hearts today, oh, to help us to evangelize, help us to love Christ, help us to learn Him, help us to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the humble position. He must increase, but I must decrease. So, can I say to the unsaved, turn to Him. Remember, as I said in the first point, the Lord Jesus came to save sinners and to give everlasting life. If you repent today with all your heart, turn from sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, He will save you. And they'll do it even today. If I can help anyone, then do speak with us. And we trust the Lord to bless His word. And those familiar words, He must increase, but I must decrease to all of our hearts. We're going to sing together a hymn, Jesus, a name high over all, and we'll stand to sing it, please. Thank you. Oh, no, we're not stand, but sit. That's right. Sorry about that. Not used to saying that. We keep our seats and we'll sing it together, Jesus, the name high over all.